Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast. For my meditation on the scriptures for February 27th, 2022, entitled The Shining, based on our readings from Exodus and Luke. Imagine it. There you are, waiting. Waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. He's been up there on Mount Sinai for 40 days. It's about time he came back. If he's coming back, that is. Though you've tried not to be impatient, because you know what happened the last time Moses was up on the mountain talking with God and everyone got tired of waiting. They grumbled and lost hope. Lost hope in Moses, who had, after all, brought your people out of captivity in the land of Egypt into, granted, a long, hard journey through the wilderness. Lost hope, could it be in the Lord your God, who'd sustained you with bread from heaven and water from the rock? But when Moses went up the mountain to speak with the Lord and didn't come back, y'all got tired of waiting. Y'all forgot what Moses had done for you. Y'all forgot what the Lord had done for you. Maybe you wondered, maybe it wasn't the Lord who had done it. Or maybe God had grown tired of you. Moses called you a stubborn, stiff-necked people, after all. Maybe you are. Who would help you now? Who would bring you safely to the land of promise? So the people turned to Aaron, Moses' brother, and together you made the golden calf and you worshiped it. And then Moses came down from the mountain, bearing the heavy stone tablets covered front and back with the words of the covenant on them. And when he saw what the people had done, his anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets down and broke them. And he took that golden calf and smashed it to bits. And Moses said to everyone, "You have sinned greatly, but I will go to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has sinned greatly. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will, only forgive their sin." The Lord said to Moses, "Go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. See, my angel shall go in front of you. Nevertheless, when the day comes for punishment, I will punish them for their sin." Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they and Aaron had made that calf. And through Moses, God commanded you to leave Sinai and travel to the land of milk and honey, which God had promised you. But God would not travel with you. God was still too angry, it seems, to trust God's self in your company. But Moses interceded for you. He trusted in God's steadfast love and faithfulness. And in the tent of meeting, God spoke with Moses as one speaks to a friend. And God called Moses back up to the mountain 40 long days ago. So now you wait, praying for patience, praying that you and your friends and neighbors and kinfolk will not run wild again and give up hope and turn away again from the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Even though you kind of get why that happened. This Israeli song imagines the people waiting for Moses, crying to him, "Here we are in the heart of the desert, thirsty for living water. You are on top of the mountain above the clouds. There is no sign, no signal. So many days in a closed circuit, we circle around the golden calf, waiting, wondering. No sign, no signal. It's not so easy." But finally, a shout goes up. "There he is. I think that's him. Can you see him? Carrying again two heavy stone tablets. But there's something. There's light shining so brightly. It's like nothing you've ever seen. It's Moses himself. It's his face. It shines." All y'all had run to greet him, but now you draw back from that terrible, wonderful, awesome light. Can he not know? Dear God, does he not feel it? His face shining like God's glory? But Moses called out, and Aaron and all the leaders go to him, slowly at first, cautiously fearing that divine radiance shining forth. And when Moses speaks, he is still Moses, still one of you. All of you draw near then, slowly, cautiously, but eager to hear. What word has he brought you from the Lord? And he shows you the tablets and tells you what the Lord had commanded up there on the mountain. And still his face shines so brightly you can barely look at him. So brightly all you want to do is look, to feast your eyes on that radiant light. When Moses finished speaking, he put a veil on his face, for otherwise he might have been blinded by that light. And in the days to come, whenever Moses went into the tent to speak with the Lord, he would take the veil off. And when he came out and told you all that he had been commanded, you would see the face of Moses, the skin of his face shining. And you were awed by such glory. Not just that light, no, but by the glory of the graciousness of God, who, although you had sinned, offered you another chance, renewed God's covenant, forgave you once again, and let you glimpse God's radiant presence right in your very midst. Or imagine this. It is another time and place. But still, you are a child of Israel, a child of the covenant. And you follow another leader of God's people, a man named Jesus. Your name is Peter, or John, or James. And Jesus goes up to the mountain to talk to God in prayer, and he brings you with him. And while he's praying, for some reason, your eyelids grow heavy with sleep. And as you fight to stay awake, a brightness fills the very air. Your eyelids snap open. And there he is, Jesus. But the appearance of his face has changed, and his clothes are dazzling white. You draw back in fear, in awe. What is that light? Where does it come from? Before you can really take in what you're seeing, two more shining figures appear. Moses and Elijah, somehow you recognize them, and they are talking to Jesus. Imagine. Then the two prophets seem to be taking their leave. And if you are Peter, are you Peter? Befuddled by sleepiness, dazzled by unearthly light, you babble the first thing that comes into your head. Dear Master, it is so good to be here. On this mountaintop, you mean, in the presence of such glory. Let us build dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But before you can finish the sentence, before you can finish your thought, a cloud comes and envelops you all, and you are filled with fear. Then a voice comes from out of that cloud, and you hear the words, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And then the cloud disperses, and the light fades, and there is Jesus, just like before. And you go back down the mountain, the four of you, but you don't say a word. Not to each other, not to anyone. What words could you speak? How could you describe such glory? But when you look at Jesus in the days to come, sometimes you seem to catch a glimpse of that glory, that shining, that radiance. Because he is your friend, Jesus, the one you've eaten with and drunk with, traveled dusty roads with. You know his mother and his sisters and brothers. You've seen him full of energy and exuberance, surrounded by crowds. You've seen him bedraggled and dirty, alone and exhausted. He is your friend, but now you know that he is something more, someone more. You've seen the holiness of God shining from him. You have seen him transfigured, and it has transformed you. And sometimes you will forget. Like your ancestors who had gazed upon the face of Moses, veiled, at times God's presence will seem hidden from you, God's purpose unclear. But like them, you have glimpsed God's glory. You have seen the gracious radiance of the Lord. It is shown through Moses. It is shown from Jesus. And you will continue to glimpse it most unexpectedly in the most surprising places, not on mountaintops only, but in valleys and plains. Not just when praying alone, tired and distracted with Jesus, but in humble homes and bustling marketplaces, in places of worship and places of daily, ordinary life, in acts of kindness and tenderness, acts of mercy and justice, acts of startling courage and quiet prayer, in the midst of broken relationships and worldly destruction and the darkest of nights, you will see it. Not shining as brightly as it did from Jesus himself, perhaps, when the glory of the Lord made him dazzling and the voice of the Lord thundered from the cloud. Not with the full force of the radiant sun in the sky. Perhaps it will be more like the light of the moon, which borrows its radiance from the sun, reflecting it on, not nearly so brightly, but lovely all the same. For even in reflection, God's glory blazes forth, giving us courage, giving us hope, transforming our lives, transforming the church, transforming the world. Can you imagine? In trouble and woe, in gladness and joy, may you glimpse the radiant face of Christ in one another. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make her face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.